morning. Will you pray with me? Father, as we open up your word, we just ask that you would speak to us, Lord. We pray that you would soften our hearts, open our minds to know who you are, to hear the message, Lord, that you would just use your words and your scripture to guide us, to direct us, to glorify you in all that we do. We pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. I think what I want more than anything for the coming year, this is right on the doorstep of 2026. And so we have this new year coming. What is it that you want for 2026? I think what I want more than anything, and probably many of y'all will agree, is that I just want more joy and peace in my life. If I could have more joy and more peace in my life in 2026, like that would be a fantastic, fantastic thing. How do I get there? How do I get more joy and more peace in my life? What does that look like? And the world will tell us all kinds of things, right? The world will give us all kinds of roadmaps to find more joy and peace in our life. Sometimes they'll tell us, well, if you find the right job, then you'll never work a day in your life. And that will bring more joy, right? And guys, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not sure I buy that. And sometimes the world will tell us, well, if you're successful enough in that job, then you can have all the other things that will bring. You can have that house or that car or that vacation or whatever else that brings if you're successful in that job. But guys, I'm going to say, I don't think that's the joy that I'm really looking for. The world will even tell us, well, it's in the relationships. That if you have the right spouse or family situation, that's where the joy comes from. I'm going to tell you, I have the most amazing, beautiful, wonderful wife ever. Laura is fantastic, but I don't put it on her to be my source of joy. I think there's another avenue for us. When we look at Philippians, which is where we're going to be this morning, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us instruction on how we can find that joy and that peace in our life. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up with me. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And that's kind of an interesting thing because that's an instruction. It's a command. It's in the imperative. He tells us this is what you're supposed to do. Rejoice in the Lord. And it's kind of weird because I think, well, if he's going to tell us how to do that, or he's going to tell us to do that, I kind of go, well, how? What does that look like? Well, he's going to give us that instruction on what that looks like. How am I going to rejoice in the Lord always? He says it twice. I'll say it again, rejoice. So how am I going to embrace the joy of the Lord in the peace that surpasses all understanding that comes with that? That's what I'm looking for this morning. That's what we're looking for this morning, to have more joy and more peace in my life as we head into the new year. He goes on to the next verse. He says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And again, he kind of gives the instruction to let your gentleness be evident to all. To be gentle, he gives us that instruction. The way that we can do that is to recognize the second part of the verse there. The Lord is near. He's with us. He doesn't abandon us. If I'm a follower of Christ, then I know that the Holy Spirit indwells me. He's with me. He's never going to abandon or forsake me. He's always going to be near. And when I recognize that the God of all creation, first recognize who we're talking about when we say the Lord, the God of all creation that put the stars in the sky, that breathed the breath of life into my lungs, that sustains every aspect of your life and of my life, without him we cease to exist. That's the Lord that is near. That's the Lord that is with us. The creator of heaven and earth. He's there. And when I recognize that he is near, that he is with me, then it makes it easier for me to let go of what I'm striving for. See, often for me, when I lose my gentleness is when I'm striving for, when I'm stressed, when I'm pressing to accomplish a goal or a task. And I put that burden upon myself. And I'm trying to accomplish, and I'm trying to push to accomplish something, whatever that may be. And then often I lose that gentleness. But if I'll recognize that the God of all creation is with me, that he is near, and that he is in control, that he's sustaining and holding the earth in the palm of his hand, that he's in control, then it makes it a little bit easier for me to not press and stress for whatever it is that I think that I need. The Lord is near. Recognize that first in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean that I have no responsibility. It doesn't mean that I don't have to do anything. I still have to balance that with the idea to be a good steward of the resources and the blessings that he's given me, to work as unto the Lord. If I can work as unto the Lord to do what he's called me to do, to be a steward of what he's blessed me with, and at the same time leave the outcome to him because he's in control, guys, then I can release what I'm pressing for and stressed about, and that gentleness can come about. So the first step in finding the joy of the Lord and to be gentle as he instructs is just to simply know he's with us and to know that he's in control. To know the Creator is with you. You are not alone. Whatever it is you're going through, you are not alone. He is with you. And I'd have to recognize that in order to see the joy of the Lord. He goes on here. He says, don't be anxious about anything in verse 6, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, he says, don't be anxious about anything. That's a word that we use quite a bit. We talk about anxiety a lot. To be anxious or to have anxiety, very simply, is to have a worry or a fear of a future event. And I don't want to downplay that at all because it's something that we struggle with a lot. But to have a worry or a fear of a future event is the simple understanding of what that is. Now, it could be in a lot of different situations that cause that. Whether it's a situation at work, whether it's a social situation, whether it's a situation with your family. But if there's a situation that we're worried about the future outcome, we're fearful for the future outcome because we don't know how it's going to play out. And I recognize I'm not in control of it. And that produces the anxiety. That's what anxiety is. The worry and the fear of how something's going to play out in a certain situation. And so the instruction that Paul says is to lay that down at the foot of the throne of the Creator of the universe. Guys, that's the first step. If I'm going to find the joy and the peace of the Lord, then that which brings me anxiety, I lay down at his feet. Because anxiety is going to rob me of that joy and that peace. And if I can recognize and lay it down at the foot of the throne of the Creator of the universe that is in control, then I'm a step closer to finding that joy and that peace that I desire. That's the instruction. We have things that burden us, and we carry them ourselves, and we think, I have to press, and I have to manage the outcome. We don't. The Lord is near. Lay it down at the foot of the throne. There's a second part that makes that a little bit easier to grasp, because I know he's in control. But if I consider Philippians 4, and I think about what it talked about in chapter 2. In chapter 2 of Philippians, he makes it abundantly clear what Christ has done for us. That he humbly took on flesh. That he became the sacrifice for our sin. That he laid down his life for us. Because he loves you. the reality is he loves you more than you realize. And I can imagine it quite a bit, but he loves you more than you know. So if I can put those two things together, that God is in control, that he holds everything in the palm of his hand, and at the same time, he loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross to be the payment for your sins. Not because you deserved it, not because I deserved it, but because he loves you. Right? He's in control, and he loves me. Guys, this is who I'm going to go to and lay the burden down at the foot of his throne. And when I can do that, I'm a step closer to the joy and the peace of the Lord. Here's how this plays out, though. So often, I'll recognize the burden. I say, God, this is what I really need. I lay it down at the foot of the throne. I leave it there, and I walk away. I give it a little bit of time. And then what happens? I say, well, God, you didn't give me what I need. God, you didn't give me what I want. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. And then I start to struggle. I say, well, God, you're in control. God, you love me. But you didn't do what I wanted you to do. What's going on? And then what do? Well, we walk back over and we pick up the burden and we put it back on our shoulders. And we say, well, I'm going to have to do it myself. And then what happens? The fear, the anxiety, the worry, it all rushes back in. And it robs us of the joy and the peace of the Lord. Because all of a sudden, it's, I have to do it myself. So what we need to understand is how this prayer thing works, right? If I'm going to take the burden that's on my shoulders, whatever that may be in your life, and I'm going to lay it at the foot of the throne of the God of all creation that loves me tremendously, I need to understand what he's going to do with that prayer. Let's consider this morning how Jesus taught about prayer. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, I think it starts in verse 11, but it says, which of you, if your son asks for a loaf of bread, would give him a stone? And which of you, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? And then it says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts? What's Jesus' point here? God knows how to give good gifts. He knows what he's doing when he answers your prayer. Right? He's not going to give you something that's bad for you. And here's the radical part. Sometimes I think that I'm asking for the loaf of bread. My full intention is to ask for that which is good. But God knows better than I do. His ways are greater than my ways. And so I might be asking for what I think is the loaf of bread. And God knows better. And God says, well, that's actually the stone. I'm not going to give you that because I love you. That's a hard thing for me to grasp. But the God of all creation that loves you tremendously, when you ask for the snake, he said, nope, that might harm you. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you the fish that will nourish you. That's who he is. So we can add to this understanding as I leave the burden at the foot of the throne that not only is he in control, and not only does he love me tremendously, but he knows what's best for me. And he's only going to give me what is best for me. And I can trust him in that. To know that he's going to give good gifts. That's who he is. That's the God that he is. That he gives that which is best for us. The world so often thinks they know what's best. And I think that I know what's best. So when I lay it down, I have this expectation that, God, this is what you need to do because I know what's best. I don't know what's best. And I can't do what God can do. And so I need to trust him enough to know that whatever he gives is what is best. And that's hard because sometimes what he gives is the challenge. Sometimes what he gives is difficult for me to walk through. But as I walk through that, I know that he is near and I know that he is with me. But when I try to go pick it up and put it back on my shoulders and do what only God can do, it's never, never going to go well. A number of years ago, I was a children's pastor and I was working at a fourth and fifth grade camp. And I was going to do the poolside devotion. In Texas, we spend a lot of time in the water. It's the only way to survive the summer. So that evening, we were going to do a poolside devotion. All the kids get out of the water. They sit around the edge of the pool. I was going to tell the story of Elijah when he prays and God sends the fire from heaven. Fantastic kid story. Thought, well, we're going to give the full visual effect of this. So I get a wash tub, fill it with a bunch of wood, and pour diesel all over it. And I have this idea, I'm going to float this out in the middle of the pool. And I have my intern, you're laughing like something might go wrong. I have my intern hold the rope tight on one end, and the other end of the rope runs out of the pool area up into the trees. And in the tree, I have another college student, his name was Steve. And Steve had on the line a roll of toilet paper that had been soaked in diesel. And Steve's job was at the right cue to light that. This is a great plan. And so I'm standing in the poolside, and I say, and then God sent the fire down from heaven. That was the cue. Pretty easy cue. Nothing happens. So I say it again. And then God sends the fire down from heaven. Nothing happens. And I look up in the tree, and Steve's up there with his lighter going flick, flick, flick. And then a little flame pops up, and he sends it down. And as soon as it gets out of his reach, it goes out. It blows itself out. And so we have this roll of toilet paper come flying down the line out of the tree and hits this wash tub that the kids are all wondering why it's in the pool anyways. And then they're really wondering, well, this is really weird. Like, what is going on? So I thought, well, I'll try to salvage it, and we'll still have a fire floating in the pool, and that will be fun. So I jump in the water. For some reason, I had a spare lighter in my pocket, and I wade out. The water's pretty deep, so I'm reaching over the tub, and I'm just going to light the fire in the pool. Well, my intern, she's laughing so hard that she lets go of the rope. So the tub starts doing this, and then it starts taking on water as I'm trying to light it. And then I realized there's diesel floating all around on top of the surface of the pool. It's like, well, I should probably stop trying to light this. Here's my point. I cannot do what God can do. We try to do what God can do. I cannot do what God can do. We think we can, and we run back over, and we pick up the burden that we're struggling with. We set it back on our shoulders to say, I'm going to have to do this myself. We can't. We can't do what God can do. It doesn't matter what it is. And you think, well, Kirk, I'm not trying to call down fire from heaven. It doesn't matter what it is. We can't do what God can do. I'll give you maybe a more practical example. Over Christmas, we did Christmas a week early in Texas, and so on Christmas Day, it was just Laura and I, so we went skiing. Thought that would be a great event for just the two of us, and obviously, there's no snow, right? And so, resorts, we think we can make snow, and so we have all these snow blowers lined up, and we start making snow, and this is great for those three runs, right? And then they try to say, well, the runs adjacent to it is open too, but they're really, no one should be on those because they're just dirt and rocks and trees and whatever. And so it's pretty terrible. We try to do what God can do. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to make the best of it and do what we can do, right? We should use the resources we have to work as unto the Lord. But then we leave the outcome to him. Because we know when God's ready, he can come dump the 3 feet of snow that we need. And it will be great. He is the God of all creation.
He has the storehouses in heaven of the rain and the storehouses in heaven of the snow. He fills those. He determines when it dumps out. It's like that with every aspect of our life. I can leave the burden at the foot of the throne because he's the Lord. He's near. He's in control. He loves me more than I know. And he knows how to give good gifts. Whatever it is, this the burden in your life, leave it with him. And when we do, we can take a step closer into that joy and that peace that he promises us. It goes on here and it tells us in verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," I love that phrase, "transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." So what he's saying is if we leave the burden with Christ, if we leave it with God, then the world's going to look at us when we're going through something difficult and say, "I don't understand how you can possibly have the peace that you have. I don't understand how you can do that." That's the peace of God that transcends understanding, that I'm able to leave it with him. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to leave the outcome up to him. In fact, what often happens is I take that burden, I take that worry, and I place it there, and then I worry about not worrying about the worry. Right? That's what we do. And so he gives us instruction in verse 8 as we go on through. In verse 8 it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." This is what we do. We set it with God, and then we fill ourselves with that which is noble, that which is right, that which is true, that which is good and righteous. Where do we find that? It's in his word. It's the word of God. When we spend time in the word of God, then we can fill our hearts and our minds with that which is good and that which is righteous and that which is true. And here's the truth. If I set the worry aside and I don't fill myself with that which is good, the worry comes right back. It's that basic psychology 101. If I set the worry aside, I have to fill with something else. Paul is telling us that very thing. Fill it with the word of God. And here's the reality too. If we don't fill our minds with the word of God, then the enemy, Satan, this world, will fill our minds with worry, anxiety, stress, and temptation. So I set the burden at the foot of the throne, and I fill my mind with the word of God and that which is good. And I deepen the relationship with the creator of the universe, and I experience the joy of fellowship with him in the peace that transcends all understanding. Guys, here's the simple challenge for us. If you don't already, spend 10 minutes reading your Bible every day. 10 minutes to read the scriptures and fill yourself with that which is good and true and trustworthy. And then spend another 10 minutes and think about and pray about what you read. If you will spend those 20 minutes a day, it will revolutionize your life. It will change who you are. It will deepen the relationship with the Creator, and we will find the joy in the peace that we desire. He gives us the formula. Deepen the relationship with Jesus. Pursue God first, and the joy and the peace will follow. And you might say, well, 20 minutes a day. I don't have 20 minutes a day. I've got so much going on in my life. Guys, we've got the time. It's the most important thing. We spend that much time dead scrolling on Instagram or whatever it is. There's time in our day that if we can just spend it with the Creator that's near, that wants to be with you, then we can experience the joy of the fellowship and the peace that transcends understanding. Let's pray. Father, you are Lord. You are Creator. You hold this whole earth in the palm of your hands. You know who we are. You know what we need. You know what we need better than we know what we need. And so, Lord, whatever those burdens are in our life, help us to have the strength. Help us to have the wisdom to lay it at your feet. Lord, help us to leave it there this morning, to turn our back on it and leave it with you. Lord, help us to trust you in that way. Strengthen our faith. Draw us closer to you that we might value the relationship above all else, to know the joy of the fellowship, to know the peace that transcends understanding. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and showing your love. And Father, thank you for all the good gifts that you've blessed us with. Father, we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.